your presence. Father, we are nothing. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Father, in those times of difficulty, those times of hurt, trial, testing, pain, things that no one else knows about, it's the presence of the Lord that cheers the heart. It's the presence of the Lord that lifts the spirit. It's the presence of the Lord that helps us to be faithful. Father, to live above and beyond the whims of our flesh. And Father, it's the presence of the Lord that gives us the power to do right. Father, we just want to say thank you for the change of life that comes in knowing Jesus Christ, and then the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit of God that compels, draws us close to the Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd help us as your people to have it in our heart to draw nigh unto God, and you promised that you would draw nigh to us. Lord, we seek and desire your presence even in this place and this hour as the Word of God is opened, and we pray, Father, that you would accomplish your will. Father, that you'd work according to your plan through your Holy Spirit in the heart of each individual, that we may see and understand the Scriptures today, or that it may be applied in our own life in accordance with the will of God, and Father, that we'd allow it to change us and strengthen us and challenge us today. Guide with your Spirit that the words that are said may be glorifying and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, we continue in our series through the book of Romans, and we're going to read verses 6 through 14. For our text here today, Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 14. This is a continuation of last week's message, which was entitled Dead to Sin, but Alive to God. So let's read verses 6 through 14 and we'll begin. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. These verses are actually very encouraging verses. When we consider all that we'll look at today, I'm sure that you will come to the same conclusion. But in order to understand Romans chapter 6, we need to understand that the Apostle Paul is driving home a truth. And the truth that he's trying to drive home is this. If we are in Christ, we're not in Adam anymore, okay? Under the reign of sin and death. We're now passed from death unto life. We are in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are no longer, or we no longer have the same relationship to sin that we once had. That is the central truth that he is trying to drive home here. That in Christ, no longer in Adam, no longer under the reign of sin and death, but in Christ, we no longer have the same relationship to sin that we once had. In other words, when a person comes to Jesus Christ in salvation, he turns. He renounces his sin as he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is repentance. And what happens so often
in today's Christianity, and people talk about, we need to be a witness for Christ. And so today, in today's Christianity, people want to share Jesus. They want to share Christ without ever showing people that they're lost. And it's they want to try to get people into heaven without ever causing them to realize that they are dead in sin. They're in Adam, and they need to be in Christ. Salvation is not just getting people into heaven. Salvation changes us from within. And that's what Paul is trying to bring out here, that we're different in Christ, and we no longer have that same relationship to sin that we once had. And when a man comes to understand why he is what he is, and where it came from, his whole perspective changes. When he turns to Christ and puts his faith in Jesus Christ, he is never again related to sin like he used to be. And that's the whole point. Imagine this for a second. Imagine a man was born into slavery. He was raised as a slave. He was trained as a slave. All he knows is slavery. But now imagine that one day this slave is sold at the slave auction. And he's bought by a very kind man who immediately hands to the slave papers that declare him to be a free man. All right, you got the picture? So now imagine this man holding these papers declaring him to be free, and imagine him rejoicing in his freedom, and imagine him running through the crowds, waving these papers in the air, shouting, "I'm free at last! Free at last! Thank God I'm free at last!" The former owner who brought him to that auction to sell him sees all of this going on, and he starts to leave. But immediately, the former slave falls in right behind his former master. And the former owner looks around and he says, "Man, you're free. You don't have to work for me any longer." The slave answers and says, "I know that these papers say that I'm free, but all I know how to do is to be a slave. I'm going to follow you and to continue to work for you." Well, that former owner, he gladly accepts that offer. "Come and work for me." But the freed slave has made a terrible, terrible mistake. You hear a story like that, and we say, "Oh, that would never happen. Why in the world would a slave who is freed, why would he ever return to his slavery?" But let me say to you this morning that that sort of thing happens all the time, actually, in the spiritual realm. See, when we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ has promised freedom to all those who would follow after him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, let me read it to you here quickly, John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You skip down to verse 36, and Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In Jesus Christ, we have freedom. We have freedom from our sin, and Jesus promised this freedom. However, there are many who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior, but who still live in bondage of their sin. Like the slave in the story, they hold in their hearts the emancipation papers of freedom, but in their lives they still live as though they are slaves. There are some important things that we desperately need to understand about our position in Jesus Christ, about our salvation. And so Paul begins to bring these out. And Paul uses phrases in here when he's talking to this Roman church. And he says, "What? Know ye not? What? You don't know this? You don't know this about yourself? You're walking around calling yourselves believers, but you don't have this understanding in your life how free you are in Jesus Christ? You continue to live as a slave." The death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, friends, not only did it pay the penalty for our sin, but it also provided the power that we need to overcome sin on a daily basis. We are dead to sin, but alive to God. I want to bring out some of these truths in this passage. First of all, consider verses 6 and 7 with me. The truth of our past. The truth of our past. Verse 6 says, Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. What is the truth of our past here? The truth of our past, number one, is that we really actually died to sin. The reality of our death is in verse 6, the first part. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The reality of our death. This verse tells us in no uncertain terms that we are crucified with Jesus Christ. That is, when he died on the cross, the old man of sin died with him. Our old fleshly nature was forever put to death on the cross of Christ. That is a fact. The tense of the verb is in this verse is present. Present tense. And it implies an event that transpired at some point in time in the past. It's completed forever, but the results of that thing continue on into the present. We are crucified with Christ. And Paul says, knowing this, that the old man is continuing on. It was completed back then, but it continues on. The results of that continue on. Crucified with Christ. In other words, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God took our old, fallen, wicked nature and put it to death too. When Jesus Christ died for sin, he dealt with every aspect of sin completely. And every Christian needs to know and needs to understand that you are dead. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you're dead. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead to sin. Now the issue that needs to be dealt with then is this. If the old man of sin and the old nature is dead, then why does he feel so alive? You with me? Because so many believers don't do what verse 11, 12, and 13 teach. Verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So often we don't reckon or account ourselves dead indeed to sin. When Christ died, listen, the flesh died. And the flesh can only continue to live as we give it permission to. Wow. That's a powerful statement and a powerful thought. That's why he says, let not sin reign in your mortal body. That's why he says, don't yield your members. It can only live as long as we give it permission to. If we'll reckon our sin and our flesh dead, it is dead. And I know that's easier said than done, but it can be done through Christ's power because we are risen with him. And that's the whole point that Paul is making here. Notice some other verses of Scripture. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says, I'll let you get there. Ephesians 4. And look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, understand the words. The word conversation means lifestyle. So he says, put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, that's your old sinful nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here's the instruction to put off that old man, and it means to shed him. It's like taking a cloak and throwing the cloak off. It no longer belongs there. Put off the old man and put on the new man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. Look over at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 24. The Bible says here, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here the old man is dead. He's been crucified if you're in Christ. That flesh is dead. We need those affections and lusts of the flesh are to be dead. And if we have the Holy Spirit, let's walk in Him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. The whole idea is that the believer, listen, needs to live out what God has already told them is true, that the old man is dead. Look at Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Look at this verse. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's lust or evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Skip down to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. And he talks about anger and wrath. These are all the things of the flesh. These are all the old man here. He says, put them all off. Look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The contrast and the difference between the old man and the new man. Put off all those old things because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And he says to mortify, therefore, your members. Putting off the old man has to do with mortifying or putting to death the old man. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ has to do with new life through the Holy Spirit of God. The idea is that the believer is to live out what God has already said is true, that the old man is dead, and through the power of the Spirit of God, the power of sin is broken. The reality of our death, we're dead to sin. But I want you to understand the results of that death. Go back to our text there in Romans and look at the second part of verse 6 and also into verse 7. The results of our death. Verse 6b says, so verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And then he says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or from here on out, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. What are the results of that death? If we are indeed dead to sin, then what are those results in our lives? Well, there are three that are mentioned here. First of all, he says that the body of sin might be destroyed. This means that the old sinful nature has been rendered ineffective. That's what the word destroyed means. The body of sin might be destroyed. That old sinful nature has been rendered ineffective. And the idea is that through the new birth, the old man has died and now he's unemployed. He has no control anymore. Some may argue, well, it sure doesn't feel that way. Sure doesn't feel that way that the old man doesn't have control anymore. I would actually agree with you. But how we feel actually changes nothing. I mean, how many times living in Alaska, in the dead of winter, and the darkness all around, you look at the clock and you say, wow, it's only 5 o'clock. Ah, it doesn't feel like 5 o'clock. It feels like it's 10 or 11. Or in the middle of the summer, you know, you're outside working and it's midnight. It's starting the next day and you're like, whoa, it's midnight. It doesn't feel like midnight. How we feel doesn't change the fact, does it? You know, the position of the sun and the rotation of the planet and all those other fixed laws of nature make it so. Doesn't change anything. So it is in the spiritual realm. Even if you don't feel like the old nature is dead, God says it is. And we need to access His power to live as though it is. That's why He says, reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin. It means to account. It means to credit. Grab hold of this. You don't have to. You don't have to do what your flesh says to do anymore. He says that this body of sin might be destroyed, rendered ineffective. Doesn't have control any longer. He says that henceforth, from here on out, from the time you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you should not serve sin. The result of this death of the old nature is that we are free from the wicked influence and power of sin in our life. The old nature, it lived for one thing. To serve sin. We're dead in trespasses and sins. But in Jesus Christ, when we pass from death unto life, when we came out of Adam and we were put in Jesus Christ, we've been given the freedom from the power of this old sinful nature. Basically stated, it's this: I don't have to live like him anymore. How little do we put up a fight? Temptation comes along. It's in front of the eyes, going through the mind. Temptation is there. We know that we're free in Christ. We know that we have power over sin. We know that whatever this is not right. And how little do we put up a fight and we just go along and do whatever our flesh tells us to do? Failed again. I know. But in Christ, the reality of this truth ought to grip our heart, and it ought to give us great confidence, actually, that I don't have to do what my flesh says to do. I am free, and I have power to say no to me. I'm not going to do it. By God's grace and His power, I am free from sin. I need to reckon myself, account myself dead to sin, but alive to God. No longer to serve sin. No longer the desires and likes of the flesh and the sin, but alive unto God. The things that God loves, those are the things that I'm going to love. By His grace, I'm free. Free to live for Christ. No longer to serve sin. Our problem is not that God hasn't given us all that we need. Our problem is that our flesh loves its sin so much. And we sort of do too. And so we yield. And we let it reign over us again. Listen. Verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. It is God's will that we experience true spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ. Paul uses the analogy of death again to illustrate that we are dead. I don't have to do what my flesh tells me to do any longer. He's not my master. Sometimes that's a good thought to have when the temptation comes along and we're wrestling back and forth. Am I going to give in or am I not? The thought that I am freed from sin because I'm dead to it. I don't have to do what it tells me to do. You know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. I'm shutting that guy off. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Here God comes along through His Holy Spirit, knowing that the old flesh is there, that temptation is there. Hey, God is there with His Spirit to give us a way of escape that we can bear it. Thank you, Lord. That's my way of escape. I need your grace. This is a powerful, powerful trial, a temptation, and it's not going away. And I continually go back to the well. I continually go back to the power of God. I continually go back to the Spirit of God for victory. I'm not going to give in by God's grace. Put up a fight, because we don't have to do what our flesh tells us to do. Are you with me? That's encouragement here. This is an encouraging verse to the saint of God. That's our past. That we're dead to sin. That's the truth of it. I want you to consider, though, that now we're alive unto God. Consider this, verses 8 through 10, the truth of our position. We saw the truth of our past, but consider the truth of our position. Verse 8 shows us our placement in Christ. He says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. It stands to reason that if the believer is identified with Jesus Christ in His death, then we are also identified with Him in His resurrection. Amen? When He died, we died. When He arose, we arose. And just as Jesus Christ was altered after the resurrection, so too the believer is changed when he comes to know Jesus Christ and he's allowed to partake of the life of Christ right now. The idea here is not just of life in heaven. When we read verse 8, now if we be dead with Him or with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. The idea is not just of life in heaven, but it's everyday life right now. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. And just as Jesus came forth out of the grave, so too the believer is raised from the deadness of sin to walk in newness of life by the power of His resurrection. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, that's right now, in newness of life. Being a partaker of His life right now. That's the essence of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's our placement in Christ. But consider verses 9 and 10 that show us our pattern after Christ. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Notice here that he died unto sin once. He died unto sin once. Just as Jesus Christ has permanent victory over the grave, listen, the believer in Christ can enjoy permanent victory over the power of sin in our life. We've been given the privilege of living a victorious life by the power of His resurrection. I'm aware, very aware, that our daily experience, though, is often different than what I'm telling you right now from the Scriptures. You may be a person here who's tried repeatedly to get victory over something in your life, and you have failed miserably again and again and again. If that's true, friend, let me encourage you with these verses. Verse 11 says, just we read in verse 10, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God, but now He liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word likewise means in the same way. Likewise, just as Christ died unto sin once, likewise, in the same way, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin. He died unto sin once. Death has no more dominion over Him. Likewise, child of God, account yourself to be dead indeed forever unto sin. Listen, it's not God's will for His children to be up and down and to be back and forth in the old ways of sin. He says, account yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. Die unto sin. Be totally dead. Are we not going to ever sin? No, we're still going to sin. But the point is, and the principle is, that we don't have to. And we'll get to it in just a little bit. I think sometimes we fail to grab this truth, to reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin. This is the position I have in Christ, and I can live victoriously through the power of Christ. I don't have to be defeated, and I don't have to go back into the slavery of sin. I'm not going to let it reign over me, because death hath no more dominion. Verse 6 says, we know that the old man is crucified with Christ. You see that? Knowing. We know the old man is crucified with Christ. Verse 9 says that we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Listen, if we know that, then we need to walk in that reality. That's the only path that's going to lead to victory. We see the truth concerning our past. We see the truth of our position in Christ. And then lastly, I want you to consider with me the truth of our potential. Verses 12 through 14. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Notice that it's a mortal body. Even in that mortal body, sin does not have to reign, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye yourself, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Listen, he says that we need to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin, but at the same time we need to account of the fact that then we are alive unto God. If I arose with Jesus Christ, then by the same reasoning, I'm alive to God. The old man is dead, the new man is alive. While I'm to be dead to the works of the flesh and of the devil, I'm to be alive to the things of God, which means I'm alive to His Word, I'm alive to His work, I'm alive to His will, I'm alive to His worship, I'm alive to the ways of God. And the whole idea is that we who are in Jesus Christ are to follow after the things that speak of our position in Christ and not a position of the flesh. He speaks of relinquishing in verses 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. These verses tell us that we are to be actively involved in determining what these bodies will and will not do. There's some personal accountability here and responsibility. Instead of allowing the flesh to have its way all the time, we're to yield control of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to allow Him to reign in these bodies so that we might be instruments of glory unto God. We are to yield our members, our body parts, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen, that's the essence of Romans 12, 1 and 2, which says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're to present these bodies to the Lord as His instruments for His use, no longer under the power of sin, but alive unto the ways of God. How often do we treat this old flesh as really being dead? We have that power in Christ. Why don't we treat it that way? Amen? In order to accomplish that, though, we need to yield control to the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he speaks of releasing. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. By virtue of the fact that we are dead and risen with Jesus Christ, we have forever been released from the dominion of sin. We're not slaves any longer. How often do we think of ourselves like that? I'm not a slave to my flesh. I'm not a slave to this sin. I don't have to be defeated by this thing that continually tempts me and drags me down. I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God, and by His power, the power of His resurrection, there is victory. That's encouraging, actually, saints of God. A lot of times, saints of God walk around all defeated and all discouraged. I failed again. I just can't seem to get victory over this. And they're defeated and they're discouraged. Listen, understand your position in Christ. Understand the power that is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am now alive to God. I'm not going to be defeated, but I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God, and there's going to be victory because sin does not have dominion over me anymore. That's not just works of the flesh. That's sins of the mind. Our mind can be yielded to God. Our mind can be pure. Amen? Our attitudes can be right. We can yield to the Spirit of God and our attitudes can be right. We don't have to walk around grumpy all the time or angry all the time. It's sin. We're to be dead to it. Amen? Be alive unto God. We're free. Free by the power of God's grace and free to live for God, free to say no to sin, free to be alive unto the things of God. Why does it seem that so many Christians struggle with sin? I wonder if the answer lies in the fact that we've failed to see ourselves as we really are, free. Free from the power of sin and alive unto God. Let's learn that what has happened to Jesus Christ has happened to us. When He died to sin, we died to sin. He died unto sin once. When He arose in victory, we arose in victory. We are no longer slaves, but we're free if we're in Christ. We're no longer in Adam, under the reign of sin and death, but alive to God. Listen, friend, the devil knows that if you're saved, you don't belong to him. You don't belong to him anymore. However, if we yield to the flesh, and we yield to the whims of our flesh, and we do the will of our flesh, hey, the devil's not going to turn you away. You don't belong to him, but he's not going to turn you away. He can't have you, but he sure can help keep you in spiritual bondage. Amen? He can. Just like that slave who was set free and had emancipation papers, and he fell right back in line with his old master. The master didn't turn him away? Sure. Let's understand that in Christ we're alive, we're free. And we are no longer a slave. We are free to say no to sin by the power of Christ's resurrection through yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. There's victory. And Paul says, hey, when you're in Christ, you no longer have the same relationship to sin that you once had. Let's therefore live. Amen? Live as in the characteristics of things that portray our position in Jesus Christ and no longer our position in the flesh. Amen? Let's be victorious in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these encouraging truths. Sometimes people struggle. They feel defeated and wonder why there's no victory. But if we'll understand our position in Christ and we reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin and we stop yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness and yield ourselves to God, we can experience this victory in Christ that sin does not have dominion over me. And we're free from the power of the flesh and the power of sin. Help us to move on victorious in Jesus Christ, that we are dead to sin, but alive to God. Father, to let the Spirit of God reign in our mortal body and no longer sin. Thank you, Lord, for the emphasis this morning in the Sunday school hour of fools making a mock at sin. Thank you, Lord, for the emphasis today that we're no longer slaves to our sin, but we're free in Christ. Encourage your saints today to live victoriously in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, please. It's closed.